And to be honest, I'm heavy in spirit this morning with you. I've fought the Lord with this message all evening long, all night long, last night. And it's not one of my favorite topics. It's not exactly what I wanted to preach this morning. I had a sermon I wanted to preach this morning, amen, but he's not going to let me. If you take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, amen. Your preacher alluded to the fact that we were having revival. And what do I need to do? Turn this on, preacher? That we're having revival in our hometown, amen. And it started out as three churches and turned into four churches, and now several churches are involved. But those first three churches came together and decided they was going to do a tent revival, amen. And the Lord moved in a week ago Monday, and he started healing some. There was some bitterness between the churches. There was a bunch of those three churches with just nothing but church splits off of one another. A lot of bitterness and strife and anger was involved with the people in those churches. And Monday night, the preacher got up and preached, and people started getting right with one with another. And was going one to another across the aisles and began weeping and begging and asking for forgiveness with one another. And I'm going to say this morning, if we're ever going to see revival in this country, the first thing that's going to have to happen is us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to have to start forgiving one another and loving one another, amen. The Bible says that they'll know, amen, the truth because of the love that we have one for another. They're going to see Jesus in us by the love that we have one for another. And so when people started getting right and the Lord saw fit to save one that first Monday night. And then from there, the Lord has just done a marvelous thing, something I have never seen take place before my eyes. And in the last 2 weeks, it was supposed to be a one-week meeting. We got to the end of that 1 week, and the Lord was moving in such a way, we decided we could not close it down. Nobody wanted to stop having meetings. And so we decided to go last week. And over the last 2 weeks, we've seen 73 folks saved. And five called to preach, many getting right with one another. Many assurances of salvation, amen. The Lord moving in a way that I have never seen in my lifetime. I've only read in books about the old revivals in the country, amen. And so the Lord's still moving in such a way we decided to go a third week. And so we're starting again tomorrow night. I would ask the church to pray, amen. And to be honest, everybody involved, we're praying that this thing goes farther than 3 weeks, but it goes on for four and five. Amen. We've been in this thing, and we'd be content just to go until Jesus came, amen, if he keeps working this way. But we're just having a time. But you pray for us, amen. We don't want the devil to get in there or anybody to get in there and hinder the Spirit of the Lord, amen. And so you pray for souls to be saved and for the people of God to get their hearts right, amen. But this morning, I want to speak on this subject this morning. After hell, the judgment. After hell, the judgment. I believe we would start seeing souls saved in this country. We'd see revival start once again if we realize that there is something bigger than ourselves. If we realize just what those lost folks had to look forward to. If we got a good glimpse of hell, I believe we would change the way that we live our Christian lives. After hell, the judgment. I want to start in Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19, familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he say, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you just anoint my lips. Father, you give me the words to speak. Father, you hide me behind your cross. Cover me with your blood this morning. Father, help me to be an encouragement to the church this morning. We'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for everything you do in our midst. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I notice in verse number 19, the Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores. Amen. And it goes on and down in verse 22, it says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And so I see this morning, the first thing I see is the death of men. Can I tell you this morning that it's appointed unto every man wants to die. Every man will die. Amen. And it's something we need to get a grasp on. Death is something we don't like to think about. Amen. It's something we don't like to dwell too long on. I don't like to think about dying. I don't like to think about those around me passing on. Amen. But it's a fact of life. Sooner or later, each one of us will die. Every man will die. Not only does it comes to all men, but also death is a respecter of no man. We see here we had a beggar and we had a rich man. They both died. It doesn't matter, amen, what your stance is, how much money you have, you will die. Every man will die. And so we see the death of men. But then also we see in verse 23, it says, and in hell lift up his eyes, being in torment. The damnation of hell. This lost man, this rich man, he passed on. He didn't accept what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible had to say, and he passed on and went into hell. Can I tell you today, we have a lot of movies. Look at Hollywood. Everything that's coming out is about demons, and it's about vampires, and it's about death and wickedness. Amen. Everything that you see coming out right now out of Hollywood, and it's desensitized us to the idea of Satan and to the idea of demons and the idea of hell. And young people today, they see, they hear the preacher talk about hell and they laugh and they snicker because they're so used to it coming out of the tube, amen. And they're so used to it being placed before their eyes. It's nothing more than a game. It's nothing more than just a fantasy. It's funny to them. But can I tell you today, hell is just as real as we're standing here today. It's a reality today, amen. Today as we speak, there are people dying and burning in hell. It's not a game. The Bible says that it's a place of outer darkness. Can you imagine a place when you die where you go? And have you ever been in a cave? My family, we always enjoy going into caves, amen. We've been in a lot of caves across the country. And every once in a while, you'll get down inside one of them. They'll take you to the deepest part sometimes, and they'll just shut off all the lights. And you can't even see your face before your hand. Complete and utter darkness. Can you imagine people spending eternity in a place where there's complete and utter darkness? You can't see nothing around you. You can hear the screams, amen. They said it's a place of screaming and gnashing of teeth and wailing and weeping. And you can hear all this going on around you, but you can't see nothing. You can't see the noise, where it's coming from. You can't see that person beside you. Outer darkness. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hollywood's made a mockery of it. They've made a joke of it. But I tell you today, it's real. And it's even more real than what Hollywood can portray this morning. I think of Brother Ed Ballou. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Brother Ed Ballou. Before he went into ministry full time, he was a truck driver. And he would tell the story about this night when he would talk to this man. He was another truck driver. They was at a truck stop, and he was witness to this man, and this man didn't want anything to do with the gospel. Didn't want to hear about it. That man took off down the road in his 18-wheeler, and he got into an accident. That truck flipped over on its side and it pinned this man in. Brother Ed Ballou was driving down the highway and seen this man's wreck, and he stopped along with a couple other truck drivers that seen this accident, and they was trying to get this man out from the cab. He was pinned in. His leg was caught. They couldn't get him out, and they was frantically trying to get this man out. Then somebody said, I smell smoke, and they looked, and the cab started to catch on fire. And these men ran to get their fire extinguishers, and they came back trying to put this fire out, and they used up all the extinguisher that they could. They ran out of fire extinguisher, and they started to beat this thing down off this man. The flame started to come up on his legs, and the man started to scream. Brother Ed said, it's a scream that you couldn't explain. He said, you'd never heard such agony and such screaming. He said, this man started screaming, my feet's on fire, my feet's on fire. Put it out, that my feet's on fire. They started to beat down that flame and try to put it out, but they couldn't. They said they finally got to the place where the only thing they could do was step back. They said they watched this man as that fire came up his legs. The man screaming at the top of his lungs, I'm on fire, I'm on fire, I'm on fire. They said they watched this man as he ran his hand through his hair and he pulled out clumps of hair just melted. They said as this thing came to an end, they said they seen the man reach up one last time. And he died. Preacher, one of them truck drivers that was standing there with Brother Ed Ballou, he said, it's over. Brother Ed Ballou said, no, sir. It just started. And it's a lot worse than that. The reality of hell. My great-grandfather was not a saved man on my mother's side. Lived just a wicked, wicked life. I didn't get to see it, but I heard the stories of him on his deathbed. They said my grandfather had always made a mockery of God. He'd made a mockery of religion and of Christians. They said on his deathbed, as they stood around, he started to scream, don't let them take me. They're coming for me. Don't let them take me. I'm getting hotter. Don't let them take me. Somebody help. Stop them. It's a reality. It's not a myth. It's not something out of Hollywood. This is reality. The reality of hell. Not only is it a place of torment and weeping and darkness and fire. Would you look, take your Bibles and turn with me over to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 14. The Bible tells us, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean men shall be brought down, and the mighty men shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Can I tell you today, I've heard people say amen while I was out witnessing, sometimes even talking to people that I've worked with in the past, they say, you know what, me and my friends, we're just going to go down to hell. I know I'm going to hell. We're going to go down there and have a party. You ever heard somebody just tell you that? People make reference to that. Can I tell you here? What's this say? It said, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, that means they're rioting. They're rioting. And he that rejoiceth. You know what this is talking about? It's talking about those people. Say, hey, we're just, you know, me and my friends, we're going to go down there. We're going to have us a time. We have a time here on earth. We're just going to go down there. We're just going to have a big old party. And the Bible says that they'll be brought down into hell. You might make a mockery of God. You might think it's just funny. You might think it's a game here on this earth. But let me tell you, sweetheart, when you die and you end up in this place of torment and torture, you will not be laughing, amen. And God of this universe will be exalted because of it. We like to think of God as a loving God, and I thank the Lord that He is, and a gracious God, and I thank the Lord for His grace and mercy, amen. But there's also a side of God, and it's a judgment, and He's righteous. And the Bible says that at this day He'll be magnified and exalted because of these people that's thrown into hell. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 9, it says, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming." Can I tell you today that hell rejoiceth every time one of these lost people die? The Bible says that hell is just ready to receive it. It says their mouth is open wide in that one verse. In this verse it says that she rejoiceth to see thee coming. Can I tell you today, the devil and hell don't care anything about your lost and dying soul, amen? Jesus Christ died and gave His life on the old rugged cross that you may have life, amen? You can have a way of salvation. But hell, it's just as excited to see you coming as Jesus is to see you accepting Him as a Savior. I think of the story, amen, of Alexander the Conqueror. They say when they found his grave, amen, they opened up this grave and he's laying there in all of his glory, amen, the man that had conquered most of the known world at that time. They said when he uncovered his grave, he's surrounded with all this treasure and all these beautiful things and all of his riches. But they say that Alexander the Conqueror's finger was taken and it was placed on a passage of Scripture that was laid off to the side of his body. The Scripture that it was laid upon was Mark chapter 8, verse number 36. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Can I tell you today, if you was lost in here today, I wouldn't let riches, I wouldn't let my standing, I wouldn't let relationships come in between me and a saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you profit? Amen. You can have all the things in this whole world that you can gather up. You can have all the riches and you can gain everything this world has to offer. But one day you're going to die. And what profit has it then? Not only do we see the damnation of hell, but we see the desperate cry of the tormented back in the book of Luke, in chapter number 16. Verse number 27, or verse number 24, I'm sorry. It says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and says, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The cry of a person in hell. Can you imagine some place of so much torment and so much torture, amen? You hear those people that's been caught in a desert, amen, and they finally found water. They want more than a drop, amen. This man is tormented to the place, he says, just one drop of water on the tip of my tongue would bring so much relief. The cry of the tormented in hell. Not only that, we see in verse 27, he makes another cry. He says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." One in hell and five on the way. One in hell and five on the way. This man is crying out, he's begging, amen. Can I tell you, every person in hell is a soul winner. They're pleading for a soul winner to go and tell their family. They're pleading for a soul winner to go and tell their friends, don't come to this place. It's a place of torment. This place is real. Don't come here. Can I tell you, they say that 1.8 people die per second around this world. If you do the math, that's 6,461 per hour. That'd be 155,060 people die per day. They estimate that 10% of the world's population are non-Catholic Christians. Let's just suppose all those 10% are saved. And I'm guessing pretty high, I figure. That means that each and every day that we go through, 139,554 people slip off into a place called hell. Go to hell every day in this world. Not only do I see the cry of the lost in hell, but also the division between the saved and the lost. Verse number 26. Let's read 25 again. It said, "But Abraham said, Son, remember thou, in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." Now, if you study that phrase there, great gulf fixed, we all remember that Luke was a physician, amen, before he met the Lord. And what you find is this is a medical term for this time, a great gulf. A great gulf. It means a great wound. Luke is trying to give us a picture, amen, this place called paradise and hell, amen, before we know that now paradise isn't down there next to hell, but we go die and go to heaven, amen. But in the Old Testament, Abraham's bosom and hell was side by side, and the Bible says that there is a great gulf fixed, there is a great wound fixed. The picture there is that the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is the thing that keeps us separated. It's the wounds of His flesh, amen. The Bible says, goes on to say that there was not only was there a great gulf fixed, but it says it was fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Can I tell you, the tormented in hell wanted to pass over into that place called paradise. They could look over, amen. He said he looked over and he saw Lazarus and he saw Abraham and he was having a conversation with them. The damned in hell look over and they say, "I wanted to go over there." They would have, if they could have, they would have crossed over, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You cannot come over on this side." But not only that, but did you notice? The Bible said, "So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot." The people in paradise, those believers in paradise, looked over. You know what they looked over and saw? They looked over and saw mommy and daddy. They looked over and saw their sons and daughters and their friends, and they seen the torments and the torture that they was going through in this place called hell. And they said, "If I could, I would go and I would rescue them from a place of torment." The people in paradise longed and wished that they could cross that gulf and save their lost loved ones and their lost friends. But they could not. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 20. The book of the Revelation in chapter number 20. Verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Amen. I'm glad in verse number 10 the Bible says the devil's thrown in. Amen. I say amen right there. It goes on to tell us, we just read that death and hell, amen, in verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I say amen right there. Verse 15 goes on to say, though, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can I tell you, if you're here today, you're a whosoever. You're either a whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or you're a whosoever was not found. Each one of us today is a whosoever. Which one are you? If you was to die today, can you say with 100% certainty that you know you'd go to heaven, that Jesus Christ is your Savior? It's heaven or hell. It's death or life. This is not a game. This is reality. But not only that, this is what I see, Christian. I believe we'll be present at this time. We're not going to be judged at this time, but we're going to be present. And just like those Old Testament believers talked about that back there in Luke, we're going to watch as our loved ones and as our friends stand before the God of this universe and are cast into the lake of fire. And I believe we're going to look over there just as those Old Testament saints did, and we're going to wish we could go save them. And we're going to wish we could go plead on their behalf, but you know what? We can't, because it's too late. There's a great gulf fixed between us and them. It isn't until the next chapter that weeping and our tears and our pain are wiped away. You realize there's crying in heaven today? I believe there's going to be a lot of weeping going on at the great white throne judgment from us. But it's too late then. What are we going to do about it now? The Bible says that if we go forth weeping, we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bearing our sheaves with us. Amen. The Bible says that when Zion travaileth, can I tell you, when you have a child, you women, you bear children, that child comes after a little bit of travailing, doesn't it? Can I tell you, church, when was the last time you wept for the lost souls around you? You ain't going to see any births if there's not any little bit of weeping going on beforehand. It's going to take a little bit of work. I'm afraid today that many of us are going to be standing at that white throne judgment and crying over our lost loved ones, and we'll never shed a tear for them here when we can do something about it. This is reality, church. It's our job to win the lost. I read a story one time, and I don't know what you think of them. I really don't care what you think of them, amen. But Brother Jack Hiles, he was a young man in the ministry. His daddy passed away. He passed away lost. His dad didn't want anything to do with Jesus and with what Brother Jack Hiles had accepted and done with his life. And the story goes that Brother Jack Hiles, after his dad passed away down in Texas, that he went out and he laid on his daddy's grave. Says it began to rain. He just kept on laying there. And a weeping and begging for the power of God to fall in his life. And the minutes rolled by and the hours rolled by. And as the story goes, the day went by. And Brother Hiles laid on his daddy's grave, begging God, God, if you just give me the power so that another son don't have to go through what I'm going through. Knowing their daddy is split hell wide open and today is screaming in their torments in a place called hell. God, give me the power to reach him. When was the last time? Can I tell you, church, and I'm not knocking, amen, praying for people that's sick and in the hospital. But we take off prayer requests in church, and you know what it is? It's just a hospital role. When was the last time that we asked for prayer requests? And you said, preacher, pray for my daddy. Preacher, pray for my son. Preacher, pray for my friend. They're lost and going to hell. We're not concerned with the eternal things. We're concerned with the temporal things. And we'll only see revival fall in this country when we get a glimpse of hell and a glimpse of the souls of men and where they're headed. J. Hudson Taylor, at the end of my video, made this statement. Would that God make hell so real? Christian, we all know somebody in here that's lost. Are we doing everything we can to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father,